Dave Fanning on 2FM.
Does it not have the on that? Now, at this stage, yeah, you've probably heard of the 5-2 diet, where 2 days a week you eat a restricted amount of calories and then the other 5 days you eat as normal. Wasn't Lisa Fitzpatrick saying something along those lines in the programme there the other week with her book out? But that's not what I want to talk about now, because I want to talk about the 5-2 relationship. You know, whether people are working away from the family home or a couple are dating who live on opposite sides of the country, say the 5-2 relationship means that those in a relationship live apart during the week for 5 days and then the 2 days of the weekend they spend together. It's becoming more and more common, but just like its counterpart, the 5-2 diet, you can guess the question, is it all that it's cracked up to be? Is it dangerous and bad for the health of the relationship? Or is it the new way forward, basically? Anyway, we thought we'd ask psychologist Alison Keating for her take on this new form of relationship. Alison, you're very welcome to the programme. Firstly, you're not in a 5-2, are you?
I am not, no.
And you sound like you wouldn't want to be.
I definitely wouldn't want to be, no way.
Right, okay. Well, then just tell me, first of all, why is the 5-2 relationship becoming more common?
I suppose at the offset there are some couples who are doing it because they cannot find jobs here, so then they do actually travel, say to London, and also that international travel now is cheaper, it is faster, so it actually makes sense that one partner does it rather than shift the entire family. So say they're in a family situation, they don't move the kids. I think short term I can understand why people would do it.
Yeah. Short term, you might mean like 2 years, maybe three, maximum 3 years.
I think that's a long time. I would even think that's a long time.
Yeah.
Because say if you're in a family situation and you have kids at home, it might feel quite different at the beginning, a little bit honeymoonish, that, you know, you have that time. And when I was reading different reports of different people, I was somewhat aghast that people were seemingly delighted to have that time back, you know, during the week just for themselves. So it's kind of an oxymoron. You know, you're either in a relationship or you're not. You're either single or you're together. And I think, kind of from a mental point of view, if you're kind of single during the week and then you're together at the weekend, I'm just not sure how it actually would work cohesively.
Okay, well, like that thing about like it might work for a short time, you might want your own space, and you're getting your own space because of this circumstances, and maybe there's quite a good thing in it in one way. That leads to you saying that you start getting used to that, to the point where you don't realise how it's eroding the whole idea of a relationship, and maybe at the end of the day, you don't even see the signs of how bad it could be.
Absolutely. I mean, if we think about it, and then if we take, there's two levels in it. If you're the couple and it's working for you at the time, fine. But if you have children, their needs are completely different. And no matter how much you explain to a child, if one parent isn't there most nights, and it's just the really normal stuff that I think has an impact on relationships. Sitting down, having that meal together at night and having the normal conversation, the chat. If you go on the phone and talk to daddy or talk to mummy, they're not going to tell you the small, banal things that happen during the day at school or with a friend, but you will do that sitting down at the dinner table. So you're missing that. You're missing kind of the fabric of actually what makes communication. And communication in relationships at the best times is difficult. So if you're actually separated and kind of communicating via technology all the time, you're going to miss major cues and it's going to lead to trouble, I think.
Okay, but you're not going to start slagging FaceTime or Skype, though. You realise it really is a good thing, especially if, you know,
I love it. It's fantastic.
Johnny's living over in Australia, whatever. It's fantastic, isn't it?
I think it's absolutely fantastic, but I think long term, for kind of keeping the fabric of a family together, you do need that face to face interaction. I really do think that. I think that Skype and FaceTime is an amazing way to get through it, but I wouldn't recommend it long term.
Okay, but you're like while you're saying this, you understand completely the situation people can be in, the recession, difficulties people now face in the jobs market. There has to be a distance for a lot of couples, you know, and you're glad it's not one that you have, that kind of thing. You know, it's there.
Absolutely, it is there. And it's just to kind of really at the very offset to have a big conversation about how both people feel about it. Because, you know, say if it's in a kind of a sense that the mother's staying at home with the children. She is then taking on the full load of all the day-to-day tasks. And if you're doing that on your own, day in, day out, week after week after week...
Evening in, evening out, and night
exactly.
In, night out.
There's no break there. Whereas if you're working, at least at the end of the day, it's the end of your day. And I think similarly for the person who's away, I'm imagining, say, they're not out partying every night, that say they're just sitting in their hotel room, they might also feel quite disconnected from their family, quite lonely and isolated. So I'm not saying it's easy for them either.
Yeah. The 5-2 that we're talking about here, it's a big thing at the moment and seems to have been bigger than it ever was in the past, and maybe is bigger now than it might be in the future. So you know, if the whole point of a relationship is that you spend your lives together, maybe this is possibly now just a bit of a fad, is it, do you think?
I think that it is faddy. I think it's interesting that they're using the concept of the 5-2 diet because, you know, the concept of that is that 2 days you have 500 calories. That is just a disaster for your body. So I think the principle's similar in terms of a relationship, that if you think that, you know, people were saying in a positive note they were getting all dressed up and they were looking forward, it was like a date. I think all that's grand for a couple of months. But over time, it's that sense of connection that people have. It's the intimacy of having conversations in very normal day-to-day things that actually connect people. So it's just to kind of step back and say, right, this is for a certain period of time.
Yeah.
Let's get ourselves out of this hole. Let's do this.
Yeah.
But with an eye on coming back together. Another whole area that's happening with it is called LAT, so living apart and together, is to kind of recognize that some people are choosing this not because of economic, that they actually want to live in separate houses. So if we take at the top end of it, like Helena Bonham Carter, herself and her husband, they live in a house that's separated, but they can meet in between because they actually like their own space. For most people who could not afford to do that, there are some people who are not wanting to fully commit back to having the partner in the house all the time. And some of the research was showing that they had experienced very bad relationships beforehand. So I thought there was a sad element to it as well, that some people were saying, look, I'm not happy with you living here full time, but we'll do it on a part time basis. So if you're in that relationship, it isn't fully committed then, if that decision's based nothing to do with financials, but just because you don't actually feel wholly comfortable.
Yeah, I would like to point out here that, like, Alison is not saying anything along the lines of the fact that, you know, that if you're in the 5-2, then it's completely wrong. It's no way to do it. Like, she completely understands the situation that people are in. There's one here that says, my husband works overseas Monday to Friday, so the conventional family life isn't a reality for everyone anymore. I think you know that.
I do know that.
Yeah.
And believe me, I mean, I work... Every day I work seeing people who are struggling through the recession. It is far from over. I really 100% understand that. But what I also see is how relationships are under massive pressure. Marriages are under massive pressure. I think it's very sad that we have to go away to find a job. I'm not saying that it's wrong and your relationship's in trouble. I'm just saying you're going to have to put a huge effort to get, you know, communicate really well and to set your expectations that they're mutual. Because even, say, when people come back at the weekends, you know, emotions can run high. So if it doesn't go and it isn't as amazing as you expect it to be, a lot of fights can actually happen. So when the reunion happens, it can be wonderful. But when the person goes back again, things can fester. And where technology causes a slight issue is the tone is lost. So say even just in a little text or something, when you're in that face-to-face,
right, okay,
you can read it better.
On,
you know,
one level, you're being kind of pessimistic, but anybody else would say, and you'd say, that you're being absolutely realistic about it as well. And an awful lot of gloss is probably put on it and an awful lot of stuff swept under the carpet. Better not necessarily talk about this, because this is reality. This is the situation we're in. Much better to talk about it and maybe try to put, if it's possible at all, a finite time to it. Now, but on that level, how do you make the best of it if you are in that situation where you probably mightn't even be necessarily admitting it, but we're going to admit it for you, you don't want to be in that situation?
I think the first thing you have to do is, one of the major emotions that are going to come up is trust. Because it's not that the person doesn't trust the person who's away, but it's just that the opportunity, and when we look at affairs in general, or even any form of indiscretion, opportunity is one of the major components of that. And I think that the relationship needs to be really solid before you go away. And it's just to allow that, when the lack of that physical contact is there and the emotional connection isn't there, you're going to have to 100% sit down, put your expectations out there. So one thing I'd recommend is that don't lie, even at small things. So say you go for that drink after work with a couple of the mates,
yeah,
and you say, oh yeah, I'm heading straight back, and because you feel bad, because perhaps you're thinking, God, my wife's at home, she's just putting the kids to bed, she's getting everything ready for the next day, and you're trying to spare her feelings. But then that's when the rot starts kicking in, because they think, oh, they're lying about this, what else are they lying about?
Yeah, basically, like, it's easier to stray if you feel like you're single for 5 days out of every seven.
Exactly. And that's where, in terms of this being a mindset, the mindset has to be wholly committed in, we are a committed relationship, we are monogamous, and even though it seems so obvious and people are like, oh my God, of course, the reality and the practicalities can actually change when you're in living a different life.
Yeah. And the intimacy thing also would be that, like, you don't get more out of 2 days. You get less out of not having the 5 days.
You do, because intimacy at its core level is actually just communication and actually knowing each other's hopes and dreams and fears. When I was reading about it, in terms of what you're saying about the gloss, I was hearing a lot of gloss. I was hearing, you know, it's fabulous. You know, I get my hair done, I get my nails done, and it's all romantic. And it's like trying to go back to the initial kind of passionate phase of a relationship, which is great. But that's something that perhaps all relationships should look at doing.
And does resentment build up on both sides, as far as you've seen in your experience? I mean, for instance, just let's say it's the guy going to London for a week and it's the woman at home, maybe with the kids and that. She might be more resentful of his free time and whatever he's able to do. And he might be more resentful of the fact that she can be there with the kids growing up and that, which he feels he's missing, or something along those lines. I know I'm stereotyping here for a second.
Well, I mean, resentment is one of the main emotions that will actually come up for the person who's actually staying at home. And then the person, say, who's away will feel disconnected.
Yeah.
So they do feel lonely, and they mightn't feel that their needs are being met either in terms of being heard, that they're saying, they might, someone might say, oh God, it's like, sure, you get to have dinner on your own every night, you get to have a shower on your own. So then there can be more anger and resentment with that, but they might also feel very disconnected and, as I say, missing out on the day-to-day things. So that's another thing, pointer that you could do as a family. I was saying that maybe you could FaceTime together at the dinner table, have dad or mum there, and that's where it's a more organic conversation is going to actually happen, than rather than sitting down and say hi to your father, say hi to your mother. And if you can do something that's kind of solid like that every day, I think that really does actually help. And I've seen that work actually quite well.
Really?
Mm.
Yeah, I'm looking at it in theory, I'm going, okay. And then in reality, I'm thinking, oh, really?
Why do you think it would be?
I don't know. It's just like, you know, like the dad or mum is there on the screen.
I know.
On the kitchen table.
But
Pass the salt.
I know it sounds funny, but I actually would do it with my sister. She's in London, and sometimes, you know, if it's just myself and the kids, that we would plonk her on the table and we would have a conversation, and it really is fun because it's just normal.
Okay, and can I just say, just in case there's a solution to all of this, that people think there might be a solution to all this by putting a time limit on the whole thing, there is surely a problem. I'm sorry, I'm making a real downer out of all this here, but, like, you know, when it all comes back to normal and that, it doesn't necessarily come back to normal because of what's happened in the last 2 or 3 years. Like, it's not that easy necessarily to groove back into a groove that maybe was never properly there in the first place.
Well, it's not, we don't know whether it was there or not, but the fact of the matter is, it's a different mindset.
Yeah.
When you have to just think of yourself, and even just yourself and the kids, and then it comes back in. And that's what I was hearing in the reports. People were saying, nearly sadly, oh yeah, now he's back. Ugh. And I thought that was quite sad, but it made sense.
Yeah.
Because you're used to then having that free time that you didn't have to check in and say, listen, I'm going to head out tonight and meet the girls, or I'm going to do whatever. You didn't have to check back in. So it's just a different mindset, but it can happen.
Yeah.
It's just about actually kind of saying, right, this is a transitional period. It's going to be a bit weird. It's a bit awkward. We'll work through it. But our intention is focused on being a committed relationship.
Well, then in your job, I would have imagined you would have seen, and staying with the kids, which is a very important part of all of this, obviously, isn't how they feel about it all. I would have imagined the kids are 10 times stronger than you might imagine, and they just accept that this is the way it is. He's over there for 5 days. He's back home at the weekend, blah, blah. But I get the impression of what you're saying that the kids suffer a lot more than maybe they should, or maybe you might imagine.
See, I mean, if we think to basic parenting, why do we bother putting all the effort in with attachment and, you know, bonding and connecting with them if we're actually going to be separated? And children don't actually like being apart from their parents as much.
Yeah.
An adult has the emotional capabilities to get through this. I think the needs of the children, the needs of the parents are different. I understand the needs of the parent might be economically driven, and that's different. But if we look at, say, Penelope Reach, she just wrote a book recently about family breakdown in terms of divorce and in terms of developmental stages, how it actually impacts children. Now, that's obviously normally adversarial. But if we pull it back in and look at a situation where the children know there's no problem here.
Yeah.
If you're not communicating that message very, very clearly to them, the children might actually think, even if you've told them, what have I done here? Why is daddy or mummy going away? And children can actually take it as rejection. So then children might start acting out. So for the parent at home, sometimes the kids might start acting out and they might actually be angry. So it's just to connect back in with them, be really emotionally responsive and get them to verbalise how they feel. And they might be angry at a really normal level and say, I really miss mom or I really miss dad. Let them be sad about it. I think the problem with us a lot of times is we stick emotional band-aids on everything and say, it'll be fine, it'll be over soon, and we don't acknowledge the feelings.
Okay, the emotional band-aid you talk about, I mean, like, it's not a panacea or it's not a solution necessarily, I'm saying this one here, but if you go with current sort of technological communication advances or whatever, you definitely are doing a better thing. For instance, we won't do carrier pigeon and we won't do kind of, you know, like telegrams or anything like that. Let's go, and even phone calls aren't necessary. The Skype thing is very important. The fact that you can talk and see and just even bullshit for a while, but just any old nonsense, you know?
It is brilliant.
Yeah. But those who haven't tried Skype should, if they're in this situation.
I would be a massive advocate of Skype and FaceTime. And as I said, and as I in my experience of this, I have a sister who lives away. So I would make the dinner and she would make the dinner and we have each other on.
Yeah, lots of people do that. They're literally chopping the carrots and talking to each other
at the same time. That's exactly it. Yeah. Chop, chop, chop. What are you having for dinner?
After a while, they might as well be the one in the kitchen with you.
Yeah, and it does. And you feel like you have a proper catch up. In terms of this within a family situation, I think you can actually do the same. And a lot of people who were doing this, they did say that they did communicate a lot.
Yeah.
You know, there could have been 2-3 texts a day. And I mean, in terms of success in a relationship, one of the components is, does your partner think of you when you're actually not together? So it's interesting, perhaps when you're further away from them.
Yeah, I would argue very much that the Skype thing could mean that you could communicate even more.
Yeah.
Because like you're on.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You're plugged into your whatever and they're plugged, like the two of you are on, you know what I mean?
And maybe you're also then actually being present. Like say you were there having a physical face-to-face. You know, it is possible that one or more partner might just be going off doing something else.
But just to stay on that one there about cutting the carrots that I was mentioning, it's not necessarily even face-to-face. Like you mightn't even be looking at them all the time.
Yeah.
You're just talking with them as though they're sitting there in the kitchen with you, but you're doing something.
That's the way I do it. I chop the carrots, she chops the carrots, and we're not even looking at each other, but we're chatting away.
Just wanted to get that point across. Now, I presume like not being, by the way, 51552 is our text and at Dave Fanning Show is the Twitter address. We're talking to Alison Keating, what's the actual job? What do you call your job, Alison?
I'm a psychologist.
It's just psychologist, right? Yeah. Okay. So now on this one, I don't mean just a psychologist, but on this point here, you would be saying, and you know, rather than not talk about it, is that this is not something that you would recommend couples to voluntarily go into. You'd like to think that it was something they had to do.
I would, but it's interesting because a report was done in Britain because they said that this was an increasing trend. So the Economic Social Research Council took on board and they did a national-wide survey of 572 people, and they found that for the LAT, which is the living apart and together, that it was predominantly young people. 61% of the people were under 35.
Yeah.
Which is a very high proportion. But then 28% was between 36 and 55, which is still a good portion. I would say that group is more financially driven. I think the first group, 61%, are actually...
Okay, what about an earlier group still? I mean, a relationship that's just starting out. Is it okay at that early stage to be doing something like this when people can be a bit commitment shy?
I would say no.
Yeah.
You know, I would just say no, because at the practical level, when you are in the first throngs of a relationship, there is a lot of kind of very passionate, and you're kind of in each other's pockets at the beginning. And that's a good thing. I think if that glue isn't formed at the beginning, the commitment perhaps wouldn't be there at an emotional level, that if the opportunity arose, that you haven't committed to the other person. And that's normal.
So basically the prospective good relationship is killed before it starts, kind of.
Yeah, you'd need to be really, really deeply connected from the absolute offset for that to happen. And I'm not saying that can't happen. I do believe in love at first sight. But I think for the second group, which is 28%, I said they sound more like it's financially driven, and that rather than it being a choice, that it is actually something that, right, let's do this for a while, and you're doing it for the betterment of your family. And you know, it's interesting, the lady said their husband was five. We people who live and work on oil rigs, we've got people who are soldiers. There are many, many different occupations that will not have the normal everyday.
But, you know, I saw something about this in the Irish Times about 3-4 months ago, and it was about the kind of people who do this on the level that, what the article was trying to say was, it was mostly about husbands flying to London Monday to Friday, and they were trying to say that a lot of people were trying to keep up a kind of lifestyle that they might have had between 2004 and 2008 or 2009, that they'd be much better off trying to shed. Now, that immediately implies, go get a job locally. I'm not saying you can do that necessarily, but just that there was an awful lot of keeping up appearances for the sake of what exactly? For the sake of ruining your relationship? Like, it's pointless. Like, a lot of people, they were trying to basically say a lot of people in the airport here who look very important with their beautiful briefcases and that are fooling themselves.
Yeah, well, I mean, so I'm a psychologist. On a day-to-day basis, I deal with normal, everyday psychological issues. During the recession, I saw a lot of keeping up with the Joneses, and it created...
Wait a minute, you make it sound like the recession's gone, is it?
No. Sorry, during the boom, excuse me, sorry. During the recession's is on the tip of my tongue. During the boom, I've forgotten the boom. Yeah. During the boom, there was a lot of keeping up, and it created massive pressure for people.
Yeah.
When it changed, and a very dark psychological cloud came over Ireland, honestly, I feel that some people, and that's where they got stuck. They got totally stuck in trying to keep the appearances up.
Yeah.
And people can be a bit facetious about that and say, oh, for God's sake, why don't they just let it all go? It's not that easy to step down. It's not that easy to change how you view yourself, how you feel others view you. And people are very, very concerned about other people's
perceptions. While you mightn't
be given
too much sympathy, it's not that easy. So
it isn't
back
that
off.
Easy. It yeah. really, really isn't that yeah. easy. And I think sometimes as a country, we lack total compassion for people when they have to come down. There's kind of like schadenfreude. People are quite happy to knock them as they're on their way down. And I think we need to come at it in a much more compassionate, much more real way to recognise that people are doing things because they have to. These people in these situations with the 5-2, if they actually have to do it, it really is tough.
Okay, well,
it's
then let's just come at it from left field for a second, that if one of the things that people might think they like in all of this 5-2 is the sense of freedom and all the rest of it, what about... Like in other words, the aspects of the 5-2 relationship that some people actually seem to enjoy, the greater space, the free time, the me time. Is it possible to have more of that in your relationship? And would you be advising that to some people without having to go down the route of the 5-2?
Absolutely. I mean, in a relationship, what you have to do is, before you get married, and if you're just as a couple, you have spontaneity. When you get married, what you do, you have to schedule spontaneity. So I think that if people, a lot of people who were saying it was great and that they were liking the free time to themselves and they were able to follow, you know, their dreams and their goals, I think that's a total prerequisite for a healthy relationship.
And scheduling spontaneity is not a contradiction in terms.
It's not, because you have to recognise, well, look, if we don't put this in the diary, it's not going to happen. In terms of actually even getting out for your bit of exercise each, in terms of actually pursuing your own goals and dreams. And if we look at John Gottman, he's the head researcher in if people get divorced or not, and he looks at how to have a healthy relationship. One of the key things is shared meaning. And part of the shared meaning is that each person in the relationship does want the other person to pursue their own personal dreams and goals.
Yeah.
And one person who was commenting on this, they said that they what they liked about when they were away was that, say they were in, we're just using London as an example here,
yeah.
but they would write their book in the evening time. And they said that they would feel guilty if they were doing that at home because they would feel they were neglecting their partner. But I think in terms of getting anywhere in life, you do actually have to put the effort and you have to sacrifice sometimes. So within that, schedule some time where you want to write that book and actually do it. But as a couple, you say, right, we're doing this together because this is very important to you. And then the other person says, well, actually, I'd like to go back to college.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they say, fine, yeah. you do that on Tuesday night. So you're creating the shared meaning where you're both growing together, rather than the only problem I worry about is that people could grow apart in terms of the physical separation would lead to that very important connection that we have when we are face to face.
Well, everything in moderation. Just don't write that book 5 nights a week.
Yeah.
There's one here that says you mentioned earlier on, much earlier on, not the one you just mentioned there earlier on, not the one that mentioned a second or two ago. What was the name of the book, the psychologist that you mentioned on attachment and separation?
In terms of
the book,
so
you mentioned
Penelope
earlier
Leach wrote a book on family breakdown, but that was specifically when people were divorcing. But another really excellent book is a psychologist called Emery, is his second name, E-M-E-R-Y. Actually, I've put the link up on the Be Well Facebook page the other day. Be Well Clinic Facebook page, yeah. And his book is excellent, and it was actually the truth about divorce and children.
It's not Dick Emery, no?
No.
Right, okay.
No, he's a clinical psychologist.
All right, okay.
Yeah. Phew.
Okay, listen, more or less then, finally, if a relationship was going through a bad patch or a family were struggling, but this wouldn't be a way to improve things, was it? Like spending time apart, getting a bit of space without having to break up. It wouldn't, like, this is like, I don't mean doing your own thing. I mean actually, like, just going off for a while. Do you ever do that thing? Recommend that?
No,
I thought.
I'll tell you
no.
why, because
that's
it's like someone saying, let's have a baby. We're not getting on, let's have a baby.
Yeah.
And, you know, Gottman is also wrote a great book, When People Bringing Home Baby, it's called. And they say having a baby, a new baby, is like throwing a bomb into the middle of the relationship and it explodes. And your relationship will never, ever be the same again. separating whilst not on good ground is only going to drive things further apart. You're better off going for couple counselling.
Well, just then getting back to the good side of it, of the 5-2 is over, the person is back 7 days a week, etc. There are pitfalls. If somebody has been in this situation, it's coming to an end, the couple or family are going to be living together again full time, what advice finally would you give them to adapt to the old way of doing things, which I presume is the best way?
Do you know what? I actually wouldn't go back to the old way, because it's not possible to go back. I would take the aspects that you both liked about the time apart, because there would be some aspects that you enjoyed that free time. And then I would integrate that into your planned spontaneity and schedule that you would maintain some of that me time for yourselves within the family unit.
Is it a fad? I know I asked earlier on, but you've seen it now more than ever. Maybe it's just the post boom and in the middle of recession and still their recession.
I think the term 5-2 is a fad. Right. I think the concept of people being forced to look for work to maintain a family, I don't think that's a fad. I think that's an unfortunate consequence of a very difficult recession.
All right. Well, Alison Keating, thanks a million for dropping in. Psychologist Alison Keating this morning on the programme. It is now 16 minutes to the hour of 11 o'clock.